Welcome to A Moment for Moms, your guide to raising mentally and financially fit professional athletes with Wendy Sparks and Danielle LaForce. This is the podcast where we celebrate the unsung heroes of sports, the moms. We will speak to moms of the basketball players that you all love and dive deep into what it really takes to raise pro basketball players while equipping moms with the tools, insights, and support they need for the journey.
And tonight we have the pleasure of having Denise Maxey, the mother of Tyrese Maxey of the 76ers. Thank you so much, Denise, for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So we'll just jump right in.
Yeah.
So you've been a mom in the NBA for 4 years. Tell us about your journey so far.
Wow. Has it been 4 years, really?
Yeah.
It's funny. My husband and I were talking about this just a couple of nights ago. As we were preparing to watch the first preseason games, like, wow, you know, we're going into year five. And it's been a journey. It's been, a journey. I've learned a lot. My husband's learned a lot. We've achieved a lot. We've cried a lot. We've laughed a lot. So I think that, you know, coming into it, I thought I knew one thing. But going into year five, I know something different.
Very good.
So there's so much I could share. We just have to, you know, talk through it. But it certainly has been a journey, and it's been a pleasant one. There are some things I wish I knew back in 2020 when he first got drafted that I know now in 2024 as we prepare for 2025. So that's the easiest way I can describe it.
Yep.
Wonderful.
I mean, there's so much, like I said, blessings that come with this. However, tell us about some of the challenges that you have faced to date.
Some of the challenges. You know, with being a mom of a star athlete, you really have to put on so many different hats. You have to wear the hat as a businesswoman. You've got to wear the hat as a protector. Mm-hmm. You've got to wear the hat as a mom. You've got to wear the hat as a counselor. And the biggest challenge for me as a mom was when to put that hat on, you know, when to turn off the protector hat. There was a situation early on when Tyrese wasn't playing as much as he liked and as much as I wanted to, you know, cuddle him and it's going to be okay. I had to wear a different hat. I had to wear a hard hat that day. And then as we, you know, moved on throughout the 4 years and putting on the hat of a counselor, when he comes to me and says, hey, you know, I'm upset about this or I've got this going on. Now I've got to deal with the mental part of it, right? So I think those are the biggest, those were huge challenges for me because it going from just a star athlete to a professional athlete, the dynamics of who they are completely change,
right?
So is you have to be very selective on how you converse with your son slash professional athlete at that time, because the advice that you give them could impact a number of different things. That was the biggest challenge for me. I've always been a very spiritual person, so I've always taken a moment to really gather the right words to say, but I really had to challenge myself as a mom for the last 4 years on how to counsel my son on the different challenges that he was experiencing on and off the court to make him be the best person he could be so that he could perform at a maximum level on the court. Hope that answers your question.
You hit the nail on the head. And the thing that, you know, we try to highlight through our podcast and our experiences with today's NBA moms is the fact that we're so versatile in our role when it comes to our son's professional career. I think in the past, moms were just simply just moms, you know?
Yeah.
Now we're just doing so much more, which really supports them, as you say, as athletes, both on and off the court. And, you know, it takes a long time. You 4 years, sometimes, you know, people take even longer than that to kind of really figure out their role and the importance of their role in their lives. But for you, it all started on draft night, I'm sure. And obviously it was a little unconventional for you guys. It was during COVID. So, but the NBA made it work and it was a spectacular event. I'm sure more people tuned in because they had no choice. You know, it was just nothing else to do at that time. But for you, what was that night like? And what was one of the stories of that night like you'll never forget and that you'd like to share with us?
It was magical. First of all, we didn't know we were going to have a draft that year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys are aware of that.
Yep.
Draft is generally at the end of June. And of course, that didn't happen. And I can't remember the dates now off the top of my head because it's been several years. Mm-hmm. But I want to say the draft date changed at least three times.
Mm-hmm.
Then we were told we may not even have a draft. Mm-hmm. So once draft night started, we were finally, it was confirmed that they were going to have a 2020 draft. And the date was confirmed. I wanted it to be as special to my son as it would have been if he could have attended in person. So it was all virtual, by the way. So what I decided to do is to turn my home into an event space.
Wow.
So I removed all of the furniture. First, I hired an event planner and I turned our home into basically what people from the outside would view as an event spot. I turned the downstairs into a ballroom and the upstairs into what it would have been like if he was in the green room. And I made it a black tie affair. Rolled out the red carpet. I hired a doctor to do COVID testing.
Uh-huh.
So you were required to submit negative COVID results 3 days prior to attending the event. And then once you arrived on the scene, you had to take a COVID test, wait in your car and get your COVID results before you were allowed to enter the event. Again, this all took place here at my house. So when the pictures and videos came out online, we started to get phone calls like, how did you get an event space? Because, you know, we're in a pandemic. And I was like, it wasn't an event space. I literally had all the furniture removed from part of my house, hired a chef, hired a wait staff, hired a videographer, and literally turned two parts of my home into the home that I'm in right now,
mm-hmm.
into an event space. Because I wanted Tyrese to look back on video and pictures and, you know, think mm-hmm. about, oh my gosh, you know, there's nothing wrong with however anyone chose to celebrate that night. Let me say that.
Right.
Nothing wrong. However you celebrate it, it didn't matter. Because it was to be celebrated.
Yes.
I just chose to celebrate it in that manner so that when he saw the videos or he saw a picture or he had an image in his mind, he said, oh my gosh, it was magical. Oh. I wanted him to feel like he had went to New York and had experienced it in person. I even had a stage built here in the house.
Wow.
But it looked like he was walking up on stage to accept his draft pick. So for me, it
no
was.
No wonder why you got the G-Wagon. Go ahead, girl.
So I wanted him to feel everything that he could have possibly felt based on the situation that we were in. And I believe that we accomplished that. For me, everything changed when you hear your son's name called. You don't know as a mom that moment.
Mm-hmm.
People try to tell you, but until you actually, you know, experience it and experience, you know, all the different podcasts he was getting on afterwards and the different interviews and how everything just changed within 24 hours. So it felt amazing. It felt amazing to sit there and, you know, be waiting and anticipating and finally hear your child's name called after he had practiced what it would feel like, what it would sound like once his name was called. He had practiced that since he was probably 9 or 10 years old.
Aww.
He would literally hold a pen up to his mouth and he would pretend like his name was being called on draft night. And he would try to drag out the maxi to give me an idea of what that would sound like. So in a way, I guess he had manifested it into life.
Oh, that is amazing. Great story. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. I love how you made that moment, like you said, magical. And think of it, you went from draft to 4 years later, him signing a 5-year, $204 million contract with the 76ers. I mean, how has this blessing impacted how your family think about financial planning?
Whew. That's a big one. You know, when you think about where you started, you know, when you think about getting off work or saving up your vacation days so that you have enough days to get off work, either half a day or all day on Friday, and enough time to try to get your son to the tournament to be ready to play at an 8 o'clock game on Saturday, mm-hmm. whether you're driving or whether you're flying. Typically, we were driving because there was four of us at the time. And, you know, trying to make sure that when you got back home, you still had enough money to make it through the week, mm-hmm. Pay whatever bills you needed to pay, make sure the other children are taken care of. At one moment, we had one child in college, so we were paying college fees too, or college tuitions rather. So when you think about, and then saving or dipping into your retirement to make sure everything is met at for every game, mm-hmm. and where he, every tournament, so where he could, you know, compete against athletes of his level, right?
Yeah.
And then you make it to that fourth year and they call him in and say, hey, we are so excited and we want you to be here, mm-hmm. and we're going to offer you this max contract, mm-hmm. for $204 million for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Now you're like, whoa, do I have all the pieces in place to make sure that this money is being spent in a manner to where maybe this is, we hope and pray that it's not, but right. if this is the only contract he gets and this has to last him for the rest of his life at 23 years old, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, mom and dad? How are you going to make this work? So, and you make sure you've got your financial advisor in place. You make sure that your financial advisor has a well laid out plan that you understand. That's how it's impacted us, Wendy. you make sure you've got the right CPA in yes. place to make yep. sure the tax guidelines, laws are all going to work in the best way you possibly can. You make sure you've got your LLCs in place. Mm-hmm. You make sure you dot every I and you cross every T financially that you possibly can. So when you say how has it impacted our lives financially, it has impacted us in a way that has made us think about how we move forward every single day.
Yeah.
It's made us think, you know, have more conversations with Tyrese. Tyrese, get to know your financial advisors even more so than what you've done in the past. Mm-hmm. Open your app and look at your money. Don't just hit approve. You know, make sure, mm-hmm. what are you approving? And what are you approving it for? Who else is looking at your money? Who else has access to your money? I would say that once we saw that extension, it made us smarter instantly. It made us smarter. And it made us more aware on how we move forward with any type of planning business-wise. It didn't make us go out and go crazy.
Amen.
It did. Perhaps had I not seen what the taxes look like on an NBA yes. check, maybe I would have moved different. However, I saw what those taxes look like from an NBA check from the very first one he received. And that's what made us start putting all the right processes in place to ensure it does last for as long as we can possibly make it last.
Quick, sorry, Dania, I just have to laugh because I remember my son getting his first check and I'm like, did you show up to work? I was like, where were you?
No.
I did the same thing. I called his agent. He got his first check back in 2020. No, it's 2021, I think, is when he got his first check, actually.
Probably January.
And I called his agent and I thought, surely he doesn't know what he's talking about. This mm-hmm. can't be the amount of taxes they're taking out.
Yep.
And then I called his CPA. And I was like, this can't be right. Surely mm-hmm. you didn't fill out one form correctly.
a lot of
because he's getting taxed like he's like this is a bonus or something. You know, I worked in corporate forever, so we got bonuses. We got taxed differently on bonus than we did on regular check. And everyone assured me that it was correct. And I'm telling you, I went digging for weeks to figure out what was going on. But it's the correct amount.
Yeah.
It's the correct tax amount.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I think when you are in a situation where you go from, you know, making zero money to now making all this money, you know, not only does he have to educate himself financially, but you do and your husband as, you know, as his parents to make sure you're the big brother watching, you know, the other people that are involved with everything that's going on with his check, you know. So it's good to know that. You know, parents are heavily involved in that type of activity. Whereas back in the day, you know, moms didn't really get involved. They just sat home and waited for the check, you know, and, you know, there's so many horror stories that are out there. One just recently came out about Dwight Howard and somebody who swindled them out of $7 million. So it's really sad that a lot of predators are out there trying to take advantage of our sons because they don't think we know.
Nope.
What they're doing. They don't think we understand the financial game. So, you know, and that's the thing we do. And along with, you know, what he has established on the court and being, you know, the stellar player that he is, I also know that he has a very huge philanthropic heart and he wants to uplift his community. You know, I was invited to your gala that you had for the Tyrese Maxey Foundation. I know how important that foundation is to you and your family. It was such a blessing to be there with every member of your family that's supporting, you know, his philanthropic needs and his social impact endeavors. So I want to commend you on that as well, because it shows that they're more than just athletes. You know, they understand their responsibility to reach back and to give back in the communities that they came from to now make sure there are other Tyrese Maxeys coming up behind them. So kudos to you. But tell us a little bit more about his philanthropic endeavors, and tell us a little bit more about the Tyrese Maxey Foundation and how could people support and really partner up with such a great cause.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And thank you for attending. Mm-hmm. The support from the moms is really, it's amazing. And it kind of propels a mom in my shoes forward. So you have no idea how much that support really means to, you know, us moms. So I really do appreciate you guys coming out and showing up and being there to support not only me, but each other, Tyrese, and what we're doing in the community. So the Tyrese Maxey Foundation was founded by myself and my husband. My mother-in-law was an amazing person. Unfortunately, we lost her September 13th, just about 2 months prior to the draft in 2020. Mm-hmm. When we had Tyrese, my mother-in-law decided to retire. And a year prior to us having Tyrese, mm-hmm. her older son had passed away, unfortunately. So when we had Tyrese, she decided, okay, I really want to be there for my grandson. Mm-hmm. It was her first grandson. And she retired and moved into the home with me and my husband so that she could help take care of not just Tyrese, but of course, other children as well. Tyrese was her main focus because at the time he was the only one that wasn't in school. Along with that, my mother-in-law does so much. She did so much in the community. Mm-hmm. She, even up into well into her late 70s, she did Meals on Wheels for the senior citizens in the southern sector of Dallas-Fort Worth. So because she kept Tyrese every day, she would take Tyrese with her. So they would get up, they would go and pick up the meals, they would go and visit, they would take the meals to those who needed it. They would also go and visit those who were in the hospital and needed help. He went with her to volunteer at her church. She was very, very heavily involved in the community. And her message to him, as he started to evolve and we felt like at some point he would make it into the league, she said it over and over to him. Once you make it there, if you ever have an opportunity to reach back and pull someone else up, only thing I ask for you to do is to do that. Reach back, pull the next person up with you, and you know, make sure you take care of your community. That was her message. So that's really where the foundation derived off of Mimi's message. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for Tyrese, when we would talk to him, like, Tyrese, what is it that you want to accomplish? I tell this story often, and that is when we started to do the camps, we implemented the camps in 2021, the summer of 2021 here in Garland, Texas. And I went to him and I was like, well, you know, you're still in your rookie contract. So I don't want to, you know, you don't have a whole lot of money to put towards your community work at this point. So we may have to charge for the camps. And he was like, well, then we won't do them. We won't do them. We don't know what that family could be going through. And, you know, we know what we went through. Mm-hmm. And there was never an NBA player at that point that came back into our community to say, OK, we want to offer free, whether it's back to school, whether it is food, resources for your parents, any type of equipment you may need to be successful in your academic career, whatever that is, Mom, I want to be the person to say, I can provide that for you.
Right.
And I want to provide it at no charge. So that's where the camps kind of derive from. Mm-hmm. And then each year we will sit down with Tyrese and say, what is it that here's the need based on our research. Here's the need either in Philadelphia or here in Garland. How do you feel like you would like to help? And he'll come back, trust me, he will come back with a very strategic plan. And then our team will, of course, come up with a devise a plan on how to activate on that plan out in the field. So that's kind of where the foundation derived. But our main focus is to educate the youth to ensure that they are our future leaders for tomorrow. That's our main focus. So it's not just educating them on the basketball court or you know, doing drills with them or Tyrese taking a picture or signing an autograph, is to provide them with a plethora of materials so that they can go out there and be the student first. Mm-hmm. So student athlete and be successful in school, because a lot of people don't understand, don't realize either. But Tyrese was extremely successful in school. He graduated in the top 5% of his class. And even though he was only at Kentucky for 8 months, he also has scholarship awards there, as well as Stanford was the very first college that recruited or offered him a scholarship. So he's very focused on academics before sports, to be honest.
Wonderful.
And that's something that he wanted to offer to the children the youth in Philadelphia as well as in Garland.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations on that. And I just want to say, while, you know, we were there, he donated $1 million to the city of Philadelphia for those same initiatives to help that community. So very commendable. And you should be very, very proud of him. He's very articulate. He's got a great passion and pride. And he was just wonderful to hear on that stage that night. So I know it's a reflection of you and your husband. So kudos to you guys for sure.
Yeah,
for raising such a conscious young man.
Thank you. Yes, he did pledge $1 million to help the city of Philadelphia impact their youth initiative plans. Mm-hmm. And so we are working with the mayor, along with other community partners, to ensure we also encourage other partners to join us. So he pledged $1 million. We would love for other partners to join us, which we do have a couple that have reached out, and we're hoping to increase that amount to hopefully $5 million. That's the plan within 3 years. But our goal is to impact them in the city of Philadelphia. So we've got some things like math hoops. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it, implementing math hoops and just a number of different things. So we're super excited to roll that out the first part of next year.
Great.
So what advice would you give to other parents looking to start their own philanthropic initiatives?
I think I would give other parents, I would tell them to really, you know, think about what this work means to their athlete and their family. You know, what message do you want to get across? How do you align your pillars with the programs that you're implementing and activating on? What's going to be your strategy for sponsorships and donations? You know, we kind of just jumped out there and started, and then we had to work our way backwards a little bit. And we're still working our way backwards, to be honest. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was interviewing a marketing team earlier today. So I had to, I started, and then I said, wait, I need to put together certain programs that match and align with the pillars that we've outlined, not just hit the button and go. It's rewarding. What the one question that I have written on my bathroom mirror, the one question I have in my phone as a screensaver is, what keeps me awake at night? You know, what keeps me awake at night? I ask myself that question all the time. What can we do better as a family to make things better for those that are less fortunate?
Yeah.
How do we, you know, help a family that was in the situation that we were in trying to figure it out? We all know less than 1% of the student athletes out there are going to make it to the league. Do they have another plan?
Right.
If it's not a collegiate plan, do they have a craft that they can tap into? So I think as I, if I had to give another family advice, I would advise them to do the best they can to write out a well-developed plan prior to implementation. That would be my advice.
Yeah, like a lot of great advice.
You both have
a lot of great advice.
Yeah, and you both have foundations. You know what I mean? And I love the fact that you both have a plan within your foundation. Like, mm-hmm. like you were just saying, Denise, like you both didn't just open a foundation just to open a foundation or start a foundation just to start it. Like, you guys actually have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's beautiful advice you're giving to people, because don't just do it because your child is making so much money and it's just what people do. Actually give back or have a reason for your foundation. So kudos to both of you.
Yeah, it's very passionate work. And for our foundation, none of us get paid. No one on my board gets a check. No one in the family, no one gets a check. You simply do this because you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we put a lot of hours in. So we do it because when we are giving out a turkey dinner in the city of Philadelphia, and someone, a mom walks up and she's got two or three kids and she's crying. And we like, oh my gosh, we made a difference. Now we've handed this parent or this family member a meal complete with a turkey meal, with a turkey, with all the fixings, with recipes, with fresh produce, fresh veggies, fresh fruit. And we have invited them into an environment of fun and, you know, festive. And now we've made them smile, and we've given them something to go home and say, okay, I can make this meal. So you're right, you don't start a foundation, in my opinion, just to start a foundation.
Yeah.
Because, and that's why I was very selected in who we put on our board, because I wanted to make sure you were doing this for the right reasons.
Yeah.
You're doing it because you want to make someone's life better.
Yeah.
Right.
You want to make a positive impact on someone's life the way we want to. And if you weren't in it for that reason, then you were not selected as one of our board members or even one of our volunteers. So.
That's great. Well, you know, we definitely want to thank you for your time, spending your time and sharing such great information with our moms who will be listening to the podcast about how to raise, you know, mentally and financially fit athletes. And you have done that. So they should have your face in the definition in the dictionary on how to do so. But again, congratulations. And thank you so much for spending time talking about your favorite athlete. We really appreciate having you. And, you know, thank you very much. Wendy, you got anything left to say?
Well, I just appreciate you, Denise, like Dania said, for coming on here and just teaching us about you, but also teaching our listeners. Our goal is to really educate people about how we raise our athletes, because it's not easy. We want a true, organic, authentic narrative of what it is to raise a professional athlete. So we really appreciate you giving your journey and talking about your success and your failures, the things that work, the things that don't work. Because at the end of the day, we're just human and still our kids. So I thank you for coming on our show and spending some time with us.
Well, again, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
Anytime.
So join us next time for another episode of A Moment for Moms. And please don't forget to like and share our episodes and share with anyone you know who's raising professional athletes or any fans who would love to get more insight on how powerful these moms are raising such great athletes and such great people. Thank you so very much.